Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On Friday, we did the BEL Voters Guide, the Bob Enyart Live Voters Guide for Colorado, on all the amendments and referendums that we are being asked to vote on. And some conservatives might have been surprised by some of the recommendations we gave. I'm going to quickly review those and then talk about the race for governor in Colorado. One of the most extraordinary developments has been another talk show host in town on KHAL Radio, Dan Kaplis. Dan Kaplis is strongly pro-life, but he shocked the pro-life community by supporting Bill Ritter for so long, Democrat for governor. And Bill Ritter, he's pro-life like Hillary Clinton, like Al Gore, like John Kerry. He is pro-choice, but he says he's pro-life to try to get pro-life votes. But he's made it clear for a long time that he doesn't do anything to try to save the life of an unborn child with governmental influence or law. So we were somewhat shocked about Dan Kaplis' endorsement of Bill Ritter over Bob Beaupre. Bob Beaupre is a Republican. His position on abortion, if you look at his website, it's perfect. It's basically perfect. Now, pro-lifers have a hard time getting energized. The activist pro-lifers have a hard time getting energized about Bob Beaupre because of, you know, the difference between someone's words and how much do they do to actually implement, to actually save unborn children. And when Bob Beaupre is in office, what does he actually do? What does he do behind closed doors versus his perfect position on abortion? But because he has a perfect position on abortion, and even without the excitement that, you know, we wish he could bring to the race, I will vote for him. And it looks pretty solid, like he's lost, but I will vote for him. And I'm going to quote to you from Dan Kaplis' column that ran in the Rocky Mountain News this past Friday, where he pulled his support for Bill Ritter, just as Bill Ritter is about to become the governor of Colorado. Now, typically, when people are on the bandwagon, they stay on the bandwagon because they want the perks that come from being friends with the governor. So Dan Kaplis is doing an extraordinary thing, unprecedented, in my experience. Someone with the public reputation that he has, pulling his support for his candidate right before Election Day and putting it behind a pro-life candidate instead. So Dan Kaplis has gone up a huge notch in my book with the respect that I have for Dan Kaplis with what he has done in this case. But first, before we do that, just a word about judges and a review of the voters guide information we put out on Friday. And if you live in another state, this information can still help because the principles that are involved. We're going to be asked to vote on all kinds of amendments and referendums regarding public schools. Public school education is wrong. It's not the role of the government to educate our kids. Democracy. The more authority we put in the hands of the majority, the more immoral a nation will become as a general rule. So any amendment that promotes democracy, expands citizens' legislative abilities, is a bad amendment. Intoxication should be criminal. So anything that would legalize recreational drugs should be criminal. Disability benefits mostly destroy lives. Morality. The law needs to uphold morality. Do not commit adultery. Marriage between one man, one woman. These are the principles we use to evaluate these amendments. Homosexuality is destructive. If you love your neighbor, you're going to do what you can to discourage your neighbor from participating in the homosexual lifestyle, and you're certainly not going to advocate or promote the homosexual lifestyle in law. You're not going to legitimize it by implying that a homosexual relationship is a good thing. It's a destructive thing. If you love your neighbor, you'll warn them. If you're apathetic, if you don't care, if you don't know right from wrong, then you'll think homosexuality is fine. Also, businesses have the freedom to conduct business as long as they don't violate the criminal code. And Jesus said, hey, I can pay this guy whatever he agrees to. It's my money. Why should you be envious because I'm paying somebody more per hour than I'm paying you? That's in Matthew 20. So these are the principles we apply to these amendments and referendums. And then finally, tax collectors. The government doesn't have the right to conscript the business to become a tax collector. So we shouldn't support laws that further in any way a sales tax model. Okay, Amendment 38. Here we go, Amendment 38. And if you're a voter in Colorado, you might want to jot these down. We'll try to get this on our website in the next couple days at kgov.com. But Amendment 38 expands citizen legislative abilities, so we vote no on Amendment 38. Amendment 39 regulates public school spending. It's similar to Referendum J, so we'd vote no on Amendment 39. The supporters say, oh, we need to spend more money for the kiddies in the classroom. That means more money for percentage-wise. It's only percentage-wise, I realize that. But for the godless curriculum that they buy and paying the teachers who teach and implement the godless curriculum. So don't rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. Just vote no on Amendment 39. Of course, the public school system is utterly embedded in our governmental system, but we shouldn't be behind that. Amendment 40, no. Amendment 40 limits judges' terms and the length of their terms, and that is not a fundamental solution. That's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And not only that, you kick this generation of judges out, and the kids who come in from the law schools have gotten worse, not better. They're more humanist, they're more legal positivist, they're less concerned about justice, and they're totally godless. So you're not going to get an overall benefit from kicking out older judges and having younger judges take their place. Amendment 41 prohibits officials from accepting gifts, and, well, while that's fine, it creates a five-member ethics commission, which will undoubtedly be worthless because our government doesn't recognize the basic principles of right and wrong. So I'm going to vote no on that. Okay, I'm going to go to Amendment 42. Raises minimum wage. That is immoral. It is immoral for the government to tell a business owner how he could spend his money. Jesus said in Matthew 20, hey, if I pay one guy so much an hour and the next guy twice as much an hour, what, are you envious because I'm paying him more than you? Jesus said, is it not lawful for me to spend my money as I choose? So minimum wage laws are destructive on the economy, and they're immoral, which is more significant. Amendment 43, defense of marriage, yes. Vote yes between one man and one woman. Legalize Amendment 44, legalize possession of marijuana, no. It is a crime. It should be criminal to be drunk or to be intoxicated. You become a risk, an unacceptable risk to the society. That's why we don't let people shoot guns in a park. They can say, hey, I'm a good shot. I'm just shooting into that hill over there. Unacceptable risk to society. So society has the right through the government not to allow people to get drunk. And people do crack cocaine and heroin and coke and pot. They do those things to get high. That's why they do those things. 1 million people every day in America drink a glass of wine with dinner, not to get drunk. 1 million people a day. 1 million people a day don't do recreational drugs to not get high. That's not why they do it. So no on legalizing pot. And it's a bunch of potheads supporting it anyway. Okay, Referendum E. Oh, boy, that was a tough one, but vote no. Pretty much you're safe on voting no on everything except for the Defense of Marriage Act. Vote yes. But Referendum E was a little tough because it lowers property taxes, which there should be zero property tax. So that's good to lower property tax, but there's a trade-off. It only applies if you're 100% disabled veteran. And people who get 100% disabled benefits, pretty much their lives are destroyed. Because welfare destroys people. And you got to be pretty awfully disabled to be 100%, as in a coma. If you're not in a coma, you could be of value to people. But our government will say you're 100% disabled. We'll send you checks every month, so we guarantee you will be miserable for the rest of your life. So no, for sure, on referendum E. Referendum F is pro-democracy, so of course vote no. You don't want the majority to have increasing authority over the government because the majority is evil. So no on referendum F. That makes it easier to recall officials, which is worthless. Referendum G, the conservative Christians who promote a lot of this stuff, they're confused. They think that the majority is basically good. But the bigger the committee, the more wicked its outcome, because the majority is in rebellion against God. And democracy is a bad idea, not a good idea, and representative republics are kissing cousins to democracies. Referendum G, I'd vote no, because, for example, it deals with just cleaning up old language in the Constitution, but that involves an old age pension fund, and they want to eliminate references to specific genders, like men. And the government shouldn't be involved in a pension fund. And so if the wording in the Constitution makes the old age pension fund look stupid, good, let it stay looking stupid. Okay, what else? Referendum H increases state income tax owed for businesses that pay illegal aliens and then deduct those funds as business expenses. Our tax rates are already too high. In the Bible, God said in the Old Testament, if you tax 10%, it's tyrannical. 10% is like tyranny. We tax closer to 45% because we tax everything, every which way. Okay. Referendum I, homosexual marriage by any other name would smell as badly. So vote no on referendum I. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to legitimize homosexuality in any way, because it will destroy him and you will feel good about yourself because you're so nice. But you know what? Nice doesn't equal good. And the child molester is the nicest guy on the block, and the teacher trying to seduce a student is the nicest teacher in the school. So sometimes you got to have tough love, say homosexuality destroys people, and I'm not going to be an enabler and part of destroying my neighbor. I'm supposed to love my neighbor, so I vote no on gay marriage, no on referendum I, yes on Amendment 43. And referendum J, regulates school spending, no. Referendum K, and I never gave a position on this, Colorado will sue the federal government to enforce existing immigration laws. That's a basically, our federal government is utterly remiss in not defending our border. So at least they're building a wall, which is good. Fences make good neighbors. And we should protect our borders and not allow this wave of illegal immigration, but we should allow a wave of legal immigration. But the best way to solve the illegal immigration problem is by securing the borders and getting rid of welfare. But no one understands that. So most of what we do will be a waste of time. But we should secure the borders. But subdivisions of government should not have authority over higher levels of government. But of course, they could petition higher levels of government. So anyway, referendum K, knock yourself out. But okay, now, judges. Judges, and these are different depending on where people are voting, but and then there are state judges. But judges, generally, the general rule is judges are complete humanist. They're godless. That's how they're taught in the law schools, and that's how they're taught by our national Christian ministries. Our national Christian ministries have now become legal positivists, and they say judges have no obligation to uphold God's enduring command, do not murder. Their only obligation is to the process. So from the law schools and from our national Christian ministries, our judges are complete humanists in how they uphold the law. So the judges are basically all bad. If there's a good judge, I'd stand out like a sore thumb. In fact, there'd probably be a movement to get him off the bench, to defrock him. So judges, though, that when there's retention elections, they typically are always retained. So voting against all judges is, it just may be something to make you feel good, because they'll be retained. So if you're doing it just because it makes you feel good, then, why not? We could all knock ourselves out and vote against all the judges. But they'll be retained. But if they were to be kicked out, realize that the judges replacing them would most likely be worse. I mean, generally. Don't assume the judges who replace them will be better. If you do, that's a Pollyanna assumption. It's silly. What in history would lead you to that conclusion? Okay. And then now to Bob Beaupre versus Bill Ritter. I want to quote, actually I'd like to start reading Dan Kaplis's column. It's on his website at khow.com. And Dan Kaplis does a radio show 5 days a week with Craig Silverman, two lawyers. Dan Kaplis is hardcore pro-life, and Craig Silverman supports killing kids, unborn kids. He thinks it should be legal. He's fine with that. Okay, so Dan Kaplis is a hero to a lot of pro-lifers who were all devastated when he supported Bill Ritter. Democrat pro-abort running for governor, but he lies. He says he's pro-life. He's not. So Dan has just withdrawn his endorsement from Bill Ritter and placed it with Bob Beaupre. Bob Beaupre has a perfect, virtually perfect pro-life position. So let me read from Dan's column. It appeared also in the Rocky Mountain News last week. The Bill Ritter bandwagon is a pretty fun place to be these days. We're rolling down Victory Road without a bump in sight. You can already taste the champagne. Make mine a bud. Everyone is elbowing for a prime seat so they can reach out and grab the brass rings, cabinet posts, judicial appointments, and other glittering booty. It's a good point, too. Dan is one of the better, most well-known lawyers in the state, and by supporting Ritter, he could get a cushy position to a judgeship. I was on board before there was even a band. It's pretty good, bandwagon. Dan Kaplis says, I was on board the Bill Ritter campaign before there was even a band. There was barely even a wagon. It was just Bill and a handful of us who thought he was remarkable and believed that the voters would agree if they got to know him. When I used my radio show to sing Ritter's praises, most people thought I was talking about the bachelor from Three's Company. Bill Ritter? Is that the same name? When his campaign couldn't pull a contribution without a mask and a gun, I donated the most the law would allow. So now it's really fun to watch all the big-shot Democrats who treated Bill like a bad diaper in an elevator try to desperately grab for the skids of the Ritter chopper as it lifts off for the governor's mansion. Well, I've got good news for those converts from the Church of St. John the Hickenlooper, and for all those who are trying to keep a straight face when they say, I was behind you all the way, Governor Ritter. Here's the good news from Dan Kaplis. You could have my seat on the Ritter bandwagon. I'm getting off. Wow. I supported Bill for governor because he had the courage to be a pro-life Democrat. In the timid world of politics, he stood out like a lion among bunnies. But the lion has left the mountaintop for the governor's mansion. The bad news was delivered by abortion rights activist Alice Madden when she endorsed Bill. She had threatened to run against Bill so that the Dems would have an abortion rights candidate. When asked by the press how she can justify supporting Bill in view of his pro-life position, she confidently replied that Bill had, quote, moved a bit on the issue. That has proven to be the biggest understatement since Noah stared at the sky and said, looks like rain. It's pretty good. As the pro-life votes start to roll in for his pro-life candidate, here is where Bill actually stands on the life issues. And then he points out how horrendous Bill Ritter is on abortion. He's pro-abortion. He's pro-legalized abortion. Now, Dan Kaplis in this column is saying, well, look how we found out Bill Ritter was bad when this pro-abort said she'd support him. Because he moved a little. He hasn't moved a little. Dan, I listened to you interview Bill Ritter on your show back when you announced you gave him all that money. And you said, Bill, would you pass pro-life laws? Would you fight for pro-life laws to stop abortion? And he wouldn't give you a straight answer. He wouldn't say yes. So then you said, well, how about this? You're a pro-life governor of Colorado, and the state legislature passes a law to ban abortion or to restrict abortion. Would you sign a pro-life law that restricts abortion? Dan, he wouldn't answer you. He wouldn't say yes. He's a pro-abort in sheep's clothing, just like Hillary Clinton. She doesn't say she's pro-abortion. She's pro-life. All the pro-aborts say they're pro-life. For all the years Bill Ritter has been the DA in Denver, and all the times we pro-lifers have gone to him for help, he's never once lifted a finger to help, no matter how horrendous the situation of what the child killers were doing and getting away with. So now Dan Kaplis in his column says, here is where Bill actually stands on the life issues. If Roe is overturned, he will consider allowing abortions for fetal anomalies. All right, that's pretty evil, but Dan has, you know, determined that. If Roe is overturned, Bill Ritter will not sign a bill which makes it a crime for a doctor to commit an abortion. Okay, so not only is it fetal anomalies, but he would allow all abortions, of course. And three, he will not make it part of his agenda to restrict abortion. Now, that's really pro-life, right? That's really pro-life. That's really pro-life. And that's Bill Ritter for his whole political career, as far as we know. Now, Bill Ritter would say, well, I'm pro-life. And then pro-life people would pull the wool over their eyes and support him. Some. Especially pro-life Democrats. All right. So Dan Kaplis continues, pro-life? That's like a governor in Lincoln's day calling himself an abolitionist and then refusing to make slavery a crime. Bill Ritter is a lot of good things, but he isn't a pro-life candidate. And I don't know how many good things Bill Ritter is. I mean, if you support killing Jews, right, in Germany, and somebody says, you know, he's a really good person, but he does support killing Jews, sort of offsets all the other, you know, positive. What, he's nice to his kids? The Nazis were nice to their kids, and they'd go to work and kill the Jews. That's what the Germans did. So you say, you know, he was a really good father. He just killed a lot of Jewish kids. Sort of offsets it. It's sort of like, I don't care how good he is. If he kills Jews, he kills kids, I don't care how good he is. What's the difference? And Dan Kaplis continues, you can't honestly call someone a pro-life candidate or governor unless they are willing to act on their convictions. Amen, Dan. And use their power to outlaw abortion. Bill Ritter is such a, what's this? Bill Ritter is such a good and thoughtful person. See, Dan Kaplis is way nicer than I am. He's way nicer than I am, and I admit that, but nice is not always right. Nice is not always right. The nicest guy on the block is the child molester. The nicest teacher in the school is the one who wants to have sex with the kids. So sometimes you gotta be tough. Now, Jesus was tough. Once he said, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. Jesus said that once. Got to look it up. Okay. So, Bill Ritter is such a good and thoughtful person that I'm still convinced that when the moment of truth arrives, he will do the right thing. Dan, I'll bet $100 to $1 that he won't. I firmly believe that when Roe is overturned and Bill actually has the power to save those innocent young lives, he will do it. Not the Bill Ritter I know. Not the Bill Ritter who's willing to sell out those kids for an extra vote. even if it means losing his political power. I just can't picture the Bill Ritter I know and love, the Bill Ritter who knows the truth about abortion, sacrificing those babies for political gain. Dan, how about all the Germans who killed the Jews? Hitler didn't kill 6 million Jews, men, women, and children. It was German men and German women by the thousands who killed the Jewish families. And you know what their neighbors would have said about them? They're the nicest people. They're so nice to live next to and our kids play together. That's what they would have said about the people who killed the Jews. I believe in, Dan Kaplis writes, I believe in the goodness of Bill Ritter. Well, that sure ain't going to get you into heaven, I'll tell you that. I believe in the goodness. How could that be, Dan? If he was in Germany, he'd support killing Jews. You said yourself he knows that abortion is killing an innocent child, and he's willing to do it for votes. I believe in the goodness of Bill Ritter, but I have cast my vote based on what Bill is telling us he will do. What a waste. We have it the opposite, right? Pro-lifers who say, candidates, Republicans, they say they'll be pro-life and they get in office and they do nothing. So we vote based on what they say they will do and they never do it, for the most part. They do it in ways that are virtually irrelevant to the battle. What a waste. The people were prepared to elect Bill as a true pro-life Democrat. The courage to buck his party on that issue separated him from the herd of the typical politicians. It gave him credibility across the political landscape. Now, I'm going to skip to the end because we're about out of time. On election day, so I'm getting off the Bill Ritter bandwagon at this stop. And then he said he wishes him well as governor. He wishes he will do well as governor. And he says, and then I'll toast him with the words found on a tombstone in a small cemetery in St. Andrews, Scotland. Of all the words of tongue and pen, the saddest are what might have been. Pretty good. Of all the words of tongue and pen, the saddest are what might have been. And you know what? That's going to apply not only on Election Day, but especially on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day. Because people who kill the innocent by their votes or by their actions or by their apathy, God's going to look at that. And God holds a grudge. God holds a grudge. If you don't know that, read the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So later in the week, tomorrow perhaps, we'll get to other politicians, other races in Colorado. But for now, thanks for tuning in. This is Bob Enyart reminding you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen, and to do right and risk the consequences. Ooh.